warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not-so-fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam and Ann here sitting with David Niles. Dave and I have been talking for the last hour.
Instead of recording,
some of the things we talked about would not make it on Catholic radio.
That's why we weren't recording.
We would have been booted off.
But we might actually record about some of the things we talked about.
At some point, yes.
We were like, man, we should record about this.
This would be a good thing to talk about.
A little bit controversial, maybe.
I know. Not a little bit. A lot.
Yeah.
But
yeah, certainly.
Dude, the campout's coming up. Super pumped.
Oh, I cannot wait. It's just a couple weeks away.
We opened up last week, or a couple days ago, actually. I opened it up for another 10 spots. Five of them went out. That day, I don't know how that happened, but they looked at it, I guess, and I think we're down to two or three more spots. So
now or never.
It's now or never.
And if we are sold out, there's a waiting list. You can send us.
Just send David an email.
Yeah. David Bates?
No.
We do set up a waiting list, though.
No, we don't.
We do. We don't?
No.
We have. We're not doing it. There's no waiting list.
No,
this year.
No. Unless you want to be the waiting list.
I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm not on the waiting list.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
I can't wait. It's gonna be a lot of fun. You can go to the just Google Catholic Man Show camp out. It'll pop right up.
We're not gonna do a waiting list.
I'm not. Okay. You can.
No, I don't know how to do it.
All you have to do is tell them your email.
I don't like. Ever since Windows 95 went away, I just don't even know how to use computers, okay? that was my moment, Windows 95. Great operating system,
actually.
It was so stable. It was fast.
For the time.
Right. Of course, there were no viruses back then. The internet was like...
Because Napster wasn't around.
The internet was mostly a safe place, you know.
Because it didn't exist.
In 1995?
I mean, not from a home standpoint.
Oh, we had the internet. Yeah, we did. I think we got it in 1992.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
There's no way we did. We didn't get it until we came back from Corpus Christi.
But I remember at one point you had a T3 connection at your house.
Yeah.
And I remember it was like, dude, you have your own T3? Like the whole library shares a T3 connection.
Yeah.
Those are like the days of nerdhood.
Yeah. That was wild.
Yeah, it was so crazy. Like we could play games without lagging. Anyway.
Dude, it has been, one of my favorite episodes this last year, as we're kind of getting into the fourth quarter of 2024, one of my favorite episodes was, and it was a series of them, was just really listening to your farm fails.
Thank you.
Yeah. Of all of the things that
there have this, the series is correct.
It was just like a few weeks there in a row. It was just, I was so excited to hear
what happened today.
Yeah.
Like, well,
what happened this week?
It got worse.
You thought the cows were here. They escaped.
Yeah.
Again.
Luckily, my cows this year,
they were all good.
Yeah, they've stayed. Well, actually, they did get out and eat my corn field, which is really too bad. But, I tell myself everything I'm doing mostly for the very first time.
Right.
So
I have like really, I think, adopted a good attitude of just enjoying the experience, even if it like is a really big learning. Because you know what? I'll do it again next year.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like this year, first try, get it right. And it's like, no. Right. And in fact, it'll be better for me if it isn't.
That way I can learn.
I mean, I don't want it to fail.
Right.
I try for it not to.
Right.
Okay. But it's better, I think, if I learn making my own mistakes than just like, you know, I watch YouTube videos just like everybody, you know, and get like a good handle on what it is. But you don't want to get arrested in like study. You know, it's like, oh, I'm in here studying how to farm.
I didn't know that was illegal.
Well, it depends on what state you're in.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real. It can be serious. But, you know, like, or it's like reading a book on prayer. Oh, I'm trying to like learn all about prayer. And it's like, instead of praying.
I've never done that. but it, I guess the, you've been learning a lot. And I am now under the growth, like, the growing pain era, like the tides have turned.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And it has just been today. I was like middle of manual labor. I was actually elbow deep in cement.
Concrete.
And my phone kept going off. I'm like, I can't answer it. Can't answer it. And like, I wiped off my hand real quick because I kept feeling it. I wiped it off real quick. I looked at it. It was Haley. Last time I didn't answer Haley's phone call when she knew I was, you know, working on things. My son was going to the emergency room. I was like, I better answer it. And she's like, the chickens are dying. All of the chickens are dying. And he's like, that's not a good impression of her. That's not how she sounds at all. But that is not how she sounds at all.
And she was like, the chickens are dying.
All of them. I talked to...
She sounds exactly like Donald Trump, actually.
I talked to the Colombian president. They all said, dying.
Everyone says, these are dead chickens. Yeah. Everyone knows they're dead.
That is not how she sounds at all. That was uncharitable. I'm sorry. I love you, Haley.
But I don't think you meant it as like an actual impression as much of just like the sentiment.
The sentiment of like, everything is in chaos.
Yeah.
And it was. I just couldn't do anything about it. And I was a little frustrated because the day before, the chickens were also in chaos. My son, Leo, who I love very much.
Like so much.
So much. Decided to like chase the chickens with kind of like a stick bat thing. And they freaked out.
Luckily, they're pretty fast.
And they all escaped, or like several of them did. And in order to like jump over the fence, so I have like this H brace from my property to the other person's property. You know, there's a lot of barbed wire and there's H brace. And I kept having to like, you know, H brace is just an H, right? Mm-hmm. It looks like an H.
Yeah.
And so like you can jump, you can get your feet up in the middle and then like you basically have to jump on one of the tall points of the H and then just like gracefully fall to the other side is basically what you have to do. Well, I did that like multiple times. No problem.
Wait, are you the one doing that?
Yes.
Okay. I was like, the chickens, like they should handle that.
Because
no
I'm
problem.
Trying to get over to the other
side. You're talking about you getting on the other side.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Because I was trying to get the chickens who were on the other side. Did it multiple times. No problem. Got a couple chickens. Walked them back. The last time I did it, I just like.
They can go right through the fence.
They can just like squeeze through there.
Yeah.
Apparently. I pulled a muscle, like, pretty bad, and I realized, that is just not what I wanted. Like, that is not good. I did not stretch. I didn't think about stretching. I'm sure I was low on electrolytes.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure I was.
Yeah.
And I just was not prepared.
Potassium's probably low. I mean,
yeah.
I had a banana.
I didn't drink my athletic greens that morning.
Right.
And I was just set up for failure.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you need to like tank up on Pedialyte.
Yeah, I needed to. Anyway, so I was already upset with the chickens because I had pulled a muscle from...
Chasing chickens.
Chasing chickens. Anyway, we've had like some issues with chickens
You know what?
And like chickens are like easy. They're like
they are easy.
They're easy thing. And we, you know, the minutes we're.
I mean, they're
easy.
They're definitely the easiest animal to have on your farm.
And we are.
But you just have to be okay with losing chickens.
Yeah, we we've been losing them.
Yeah, you have to be okay with that. It just like, have you clipped their wings?
Not yet.
Because they can probably. I mean, they can fly pretty soon. Like
I mean, they're still pretty young. They haven't. They're still like 2 or 3 months away from giving from laying eggs.
Yeah, they could probably still fly though. If they can go under a fence, that's what they'll do. Mm-hmm. So like, here's what's going to happen. You're going to finally get that fence fixed so that they cannot go under anyway.
I have done that.
And then they're going to fly right over it.
Yeah, and that'll be.
How tall is the fence?
It's 5 and a half or 5 foot. It's 5 foot fence.
Oh, okay. They might not. They might not fly over that. They can, but. They just might not.
Dude, I haven't told you this. Did I? I have not even showed you this. There was this thing on my property as I was mowing across it, you know, multiple times. It was kind of in the weeds and like this weed tree, you know, that was kind of covering it. And I couldn't really tell. I saw a little cage. I thought it was like a, maybe like a dog crate or old dog crate or something. Anyway, the other night I decided like, I'm going to go cut that thing out and get like, just clean it out is really what I was thinking. I cleaned it out. It's a massive trap, I'm talking like a hog massive trap, like 5 foot, maybe 6 foot.
Like
long.
A live trap?
Yeah, like it. Yeah, it is like
sweet,
awesome. And I looked it up and I was like, oh, this is like a $250 trap.
Nice.
They just left it at my property.
People do crazy things, man.
Dude, on the break, I'm gonna show you the video of me trapping Anna.
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan. If you missed the end of the last segment, Adam was testing out his new live trap on his daughter. Worked really well.
She could not get out.
Very funny. She was totally fine. No children were harmed in the making of that video.
I would not have done it otherwise.
Right. Just, you know, so everybody knows.
Right.
So,
sipping on.
Oh, yeah, we haven't even talked about the whiskey today. So, we're drinking a little bit of Ben Nevis. That's how I'm choosing to say it today. Maybe Nevis. You know, I don't make the, like, pronunciation decisions over there in Scotland.
Thank goodness.
I'm pretty sure the first word is Ben. And I think the next one is Nevis. It's a Highland. It's one I'm not familiar with. This is from the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society. Still doesn't sponsor the show. But their whiskey is so good. So this one is finished in ex-bourbon barrels. I'm sorry, it was started in ex-bourbon barrels, like just about all Scotch, but finished in second fill. XPX barrels? XPX barrels? Okay. So it's a Highland. Cheers.
Cheers. It's, it reminds me of more flavorful Glenmorangie.
You know, so.
A little bit more robust. little bit more like impact.
One of the things about the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society is all of everything is always cask strength.
Right.
Which by nature gives like all the whiskey is like full flavored, you know, right. Like really packs a punch.
Right.
Because of that.
Sure.
So that, but you know what? I mean, it is, I think it's a better product. Like for me, I like the punch.
You like flavor.
You know what I mean? I think maybe my taste buds just are not, you know, it's like, hey.
You're not nuanced.
I have great vision. You can't have great everything.
I know. I agree.
So I think I need more of a punch to like, oh yeah, hey, I think I could taste that. But I really like this.
Nice. What are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about marriage. Okay. It's one of my favorite sacraments. Find myself probably relying on that one the most.
Wow.
I mean, because it's like pretty much all the time do I really count on that sacrament. At least, you know, over the last 10 years. So it's really great. Want to talk about it today.
Okay.
I mean, for you, you're doing well
so
the look,
far.
The look I'm getting from you is like, you don't like, you're not, marriage is like not all that. You were giving me like looks of bewilderment.
I just found it interesting that you said like, it's the one you rely on the most.
Yeah. Oh. I think that like, this is true for all of us. We just don't even realize it. That's one of the things I want to talk about today. Is that,
I think I realize. I think
what does
that,
it mean?
I think it's that you don't realize that you actually are relying on Christ in the Eucharist.
Yes. But like my sacramental life with the Eucharist is not a 24/7. Well, I don't think it is. I could be wrong. Look, disclaimer, I'm not a theologian. But I'm not here to talk about the Eucharist today, so don't force me into saying something I'm not prepared to say. We're going to talk about marriage, okay?
Okay, that's good. Big fan.
Okay, you are a big fan. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
By your reaction a second ago.
I just felt like you were saying something wrong.
It's no, okay.
12 years of marriage, big fan. I love my wife dearly. I would die for her.
That's good. That's good. I'm glad to hear that, Adam. Yeah. So everything that we're going to be pulling from today is from the Catechism.
Also a phenomenal text.
Phenomenal text.
1992, like, JP2,
yeah.
Ratzinger.
I think, you know, for us, you and I, we kind of grew up in a Catholic world where the Catechism already existed. You know, it didn't when we were born, but I don't really remember. You know, it's not like when I was in kindergarten, it's like, oh, the Catechism came out. This thing is awesome. You know, I didn't care. So for me, the Catechism has just always been a part of my Catholic life, and which is great. But I think that also means I kind of
take it for granted.
Yeah. And it's just,
you know when I realized you took it for granted?
When?
This last week. At our Friday men's group, I realized you're just taking it for granted.
You just don't even care.
You don't even care about it anymore.
You just like, you just know it'll...
You just assume.
Yeah, it's just always going to be there.
We're just talking to our good friend Clint, talking about reading through the Catechism. And he's over here like, I just want to learn about the Catholic faith. I'm like, Catechism's where it's at.
Now, let me ask you this. Your realization about me taking it for granted, was that like after, like immediately after you realized that you take it for granted? You were like, oh, man, I totally take that for granted. But Dave, dude, that guy totally does too. Is it the other way around?
I'm not really sure.
First, you're pointing the fingers at me. You know what they say about pointing fingers? There's always like three more pointing back at you, Adam.
Mm.
When you point fingers. It's like, oh, man. Wow, that's deep, bro. The first time you hear that, that is like, oh, dude, that is deep. And then the second time you hear that, like, don't say that.
That's so...
I can't believe you just said
that.
Go
to the corner.
Yeah. You know what? I'm putting you in timeout. Yeah. Don't speak to me for 5 minutes. Yeah. I need 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to talk about, like, the nature of marriage.
Okay.
What it is. I want to talk briefly about virginity, about the ceremony, but then I want to end with the effects of marriage. What effect does the sacrament have in our own lives? because okay. I think that's an important thing to think about, especially okay. for those of us who are married. So, marriage comes from God himself, and it really flows out of the nature of man and woman, right? And so...
natural aspect as well as sacramental.
Right. Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you a risky question, Adam. I'm going to make you... Mm. I'm going to put you on the hot spot here.
Okay, hot seat.
I was thinking about this today. I have no idea what the answer is.
Oh, good.
In the garden, did Adam and Eve, before the fall... Okay. Did they need sacraments?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that they already had salvific grace, so I don't think that they needed it.
That's what I decided. I was like, they don't need sacraments because they had the perfect relationship with God.
Yeah.
The sacraments are outward signs instituted by Christ in order
for
to
the inward
convey,
reality, but the
to
inward
convey grace.
And the inward reality was they were already there.
They were full of grace.
Right.
You know, there in the garden.
In that, yeah.
At that time. So I don't think that they needed sacraments.
I don't know. I'm not Brant Petrie or I'm not
Once
Scott
again,
Hahn.
You're also not a theologian.
No.
Like me, who right. I am also not.
Right. But a philosopher.
Oh. In my, mm-hmm. every chance I get. Mm-hmm. But you know, I was just thinking about like, cause the first marriage is, you know, there in at the creation of man and woman, when God tells them go be fruitful and multiply. Right. But I was thinking like, well, is it technically a marriage? I think it could be, we could call it a marriage, but it's not a sacramental marriage as far as I can tell, because they don't need the sacraments. Anyway, maybe somebody smarter is going to be like, no, dude, you're totally wrong. Sacramental marriage. Because all of their life was sacramental. Maybe that's the card they play. I don't know. But it was different from what we have today. Okay?
Yes. I can agree with that. When I don't know what's going on, I just clam up and let you keep talking.
And you are so selfish.
It's been working out really well because when we've had to pull... You know what? When we've had to pull episodes because we've been wrong, has it been me or has it been you?
Well, Adam, is that because you're over there being quiet and somebody has to keep talking? And I'm just trying to like wait for you to come in and save me. And you're like, no, dude.
No, bro. Watch this. Watch you this. Really He's going to keep going. Watch this.
You should try doggy paddling, bro. Looks like you're struggling. I have this floaty, but
no, bro. You're good.
I'm afraid if I throw it to you, I might be associated with everything you're doing. Thanks, bro. But after the fall,
right.
The important thing is that the relationship between man and woman changed. Drastically, okay?
Yeah.
And so marriage took on a whole new importance after the fall, okay? Whatever it was before...
Was better.
The important thing is that the sacrament of marriage took on a new level of importance in a fallen world, okay? So I just wanted to make that point, and the Catechism points it out as well, that marriage is not just a human institution, okay? It was established by God. God, who created man out of love, also calls him to love, the fundamental innate vocation of every human being. I thought that was really good. Love being the fundamental vocation of every single person, which if you've studied the theology of the body even a little bit, you know that man is man, woman, human beings were made to be a gift. To make a gift of ourselves, right? And so we can only be happy if we're doing that, right? If you're not giving of yourself, you're going to find a lot of unhappiness, right?
At some point.
Yeah.
There could be instant pleasure, but it's not fulfilling.
Correct, yeah.
It's fleeting.
And there in Genesis... Oh, let me get to this when we get back, because... The woman is described in a very special way. That I think is really awesome. And I'm going to tell you what it is when we get back.
Okay. Looking forward to it. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Shout out to our patron, Dr. Kyle Myers. Something I haven't even told you. Something I intentionally probably haven't told you. But Dr. Kyle Myers sent over a handmade chess set.
You did tell me that. I already knew that.
Oh, I did tell you this.
Saw the pictures. It looks amazing.
It's incredible. All pieces, all of them, handmade.
Yeah,
I can't wait to.
It does. I just saw the pictures. I haven't seen it. Do you have it yet?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's in my house.
Yours? Gosh, you're like the most selfish person in this entire studio. I feel so confident that that's true.
Yeah.
At least today.
Without a doubt.
I mean, you're gold ribbon material. Selfish.
Someone's got to be first.
You're not first, you're last. Which is like a big Catholic hack. It's like, yeah, guess what? The last will be first.
Yeah, joke's on you.
I'm into that. Yeah, I'm into it. It's kind of my thing, bro. So anyway, anything else before we continue on?
I just wanted to give him a shout out.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He spent a lot of time and effort building that for us.
Yeah, you know, he's also a great cross saw cutting partner. Just so you know.
Also is, yes.
Yeah. I can tell you firsthand experience. So I was mentioning about the woman. So when God is creating woman, he says, let's make a helper or a helpmate. And it's just really interesting. This word helper is used here to describe the woman. And every other point after here in Genesis, first couple chapters, this word in Hebrew, helper, is used to refer to for the Holy Spirit or God. So the woman is in the catechism actually says, the woman, flesh of his flesh, his equal, his nearest in all things, is given to him by God as a helpmate. She thus represents God, from whom comes our help. Like, that's kind of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been like chewing on that today, and there's just something that feels, it's like, that I just really resonates with me, that there's something innate in the vocation of marriage that, or just in women, kind of in the nature of women,
mm-hmm.
that, yes, like they are,
yeah,
they do represent God, like God in like a helping way.
Yeah, no. Given to him by God as a helpmate. Here's what I feel like when it comes to marriage, and when you can tell pretty quickly that like success is going to happen in this marriage, like this is going to be a successful marriage. It's when they completely support one another, right? Like
right.
men, you have this innate drive to desire to be to lay down your life, you know, to do something hard for the sake of the other. Like mm-hmm. this is something like deep down, whether you do it or not, like you're made to do this. You're made to lay down your life for the other. And when you see the woman support the man in the things that he's doing and give him confidence and give him the support to continue doing his thing. What he does in return is do nothing but support her by laying down his life for her.
Right.
And it's this like, beautiful like circle because mm-hmm. of marriage, you know,
yeah.
Of laying down one's life for the other person supporting and laying down her life for the other. And when that, like when you see, there's nothing
like more, a couple who's just like just on the same page.
On the same page. And when I say on the same page, not necessarily like, oh, I like, 1, 2, 3. Oh, I like orange sherbet. Oh, I was gonna say.
I was gonna say that. Yeah.
No. I'm talking about like they understand. My desire is to achieve this end goal,
and they have the same goals all the time.
And I want to support you in that goal, and the goals align. Namely, I want to get to heaven.
Yeah. You know, I think of my sister and my brother-in-law, Drew and Sarah. Like they are just. Like I really admire
Tom or
no. Well, they're not married yet. This weekend, pray for my sister and future brother-in-law, Tom and Rebecca.
Timus.
They're getting married this weekend, so everybody please
Timus.
Pray for them. It's too close. We're Tom.
I actually really like Tom.
Tom is legit.
He's so good.
Yeah. But like Sarah and Drew, like my family's awesome. I just have a great family. I'm just really blessed. I just really admire them because they are always on the, like, they're just so in sync with each other all the time, you know, and they just do every, like, all of their decisions are very much in unison.
You know what it reminds me of? Remember back, this is years ago in Phoenix, when we had the opportunity to interview Sister Bethany Madonna,
mm-hmm.
whom I love.
Yeah, like, dude.
She is phenomenal. And I think I was asking her about, you know, the ways in which men, you know, should be in the pro-life movement, the role that men have. And her comment was, men, please support women. They desire to be supported. They desire to be loved. They desire to be, hugged, you know, wrapped around. Like, they desire to just be known that they are loved.
Mm-hmm.
And when she said that, I was like, yes, this is so true. A lot of the issues with abortion, a lot of the issues with a lot of sin is just the desire to be known, to be loved, and the lack of men carrying out this duty that they have. The duty of every man is to bestow the one,
the dignity of every woman.
Yeah. Yeah. And when we fall in that, we see a lot of issues.
Yeah. I do think that a lot of the social crises we're having are just because men have been convinced not to be men, mm-hmm. not to be what they're supposed to be. I think a lot of people agree with that. I wanted to share this line here. This is just kind of about the entire Christian life and how marriage is really a symbol for all of it. There's so many mysteries here. You know, like that line that St. Paul says about, you know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. He says, this is a great mystery. And I refer to Christ in the church. Like, that's such a beautiful line. And I'll tell you what, I think it is a mystery. I'm not exactly sure what he means by, like, I like generally get what he's trying to say. But the bridal relation, like the fact that Christ is the bridegroom, right? Mm-hmm. And has like, he's not wedded to us in the literal way, but he has this nuptial relationship with us. In heaven, I know we will see the beauty of that reality. And I think it's going to be far more incredible than what we could comprehend here, but
understatement.
I feel good about
The year.
About standing on that one. All right, but anyway, what the Catechism says is that the entire Christian life bears the mark of spousal love of Christ in the Church. Already, baptism, the entry into the people of God, is a nuptial mystery. Baptism is a nuptial mystery. It is, so to speak, the nuptial bath which precedes the wedding feast, the Eucharist. Oh, that was just very, very beautiful. There was a tradition in Hebrew culture where the bride would bathe, go take it like before the wedding. And the best man, it was the best man's job to escort the bride after her nuptial bath to the wedding, which is exactly what we see St. John the Baptist doing. What was he doing? He was baptizing people. He was the one who was escorting the bride to the bridegroom. Like sort of the best man at the wedding feast. It's like there's so many great parallels that just
that
keep going here.
So
I want to talk about virginity, because like right here in the middle of this chapter on marriage, the Catechism just like kind of plops some stuff down about virginity, and it was awesome. And then it kind of picks up. It's like, oh yeah, back to marriage again. You know, as if like, anyway, it was really great. So I wanted to share some of it. And this is from Saint Chrysostom. He says, whoever denigrates marriage also diminishes the glory of virginity. and whoever praises it makes virginity more admirable and resplendent.
Yeah, I mean, this makes sense, right? If St. Paul is true to his word, that you know, the greater of the two is virginity.
Yeah, and I don't think he even means necessarily just virginity, you know, like, oh, I just happen to be a virgin. But what Christ talks about, like, virginity for the sake of the kingdom, right? So,
well, obviously, in the context of Christianity.
Right, yeah, exactly. But I just want to make that point. Because if virginity is good, you know, it's only good because you're giving up the good of marriage, right? If marriage, like being abstinent, taking a vow of abstinence like a priest, it is so good because you're giving up the good of marriage, mm-hmm. right? If marriage wasn't all that great, then it's like, well, abstaining from it is like, all right, well,
it's not that big of a deal.
No big deal, right? Yeah. But it also says that virginity is a sign which also recalls that marriage is a reality of this present age, which is passing away. When we get back, I want to talk a little bit about the wedding ceremony, but then the effect of marriage, what it has in our lives.
The effects.
We'll be right back.
Children.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with Adam Minahan. We're talking about marriage. What it is. How to do it. We'll talk about the ceremony. I think marriage is very unique. It is unique. I don't just think it is, but it is unique. It's the only sacrament where the couple administers the sacrament to themselves. So you cannot administer any of the other sacraments to yourself. They must be
can't baptize yourself.
You cannot baptize yourself. I suppose if you're a priest, you could, like, you know, like Eucharist. It's like, I suppose.
You can't forgive
yourself.
Let's your
just
own
say
sins.
You're not a priest, okay? They cannot forgive.
They cannot absolve themselves.
No, they cannot.
Priests cannot absolve themselves. They have to confess their sins to another priest.
Correct. So.
So I've been told.
Yes, yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
But actually, in marriage, the couple administers the sacrament to themselves. The priest or deacon who is there as a witness of the church. And they bring the church's blessing with them. Now, in order for it to be a sacrament, they need to have the blessing of the church, right?
They have to be in union with the church.
Right. You cannot go take your fiance onto the top of a mountain and even if you say the vows that the church prescribes for the sacrament, if you don't have the blessing and a witness of the church there, you have not confected the sacrament.
Right. Can we talk about, like, the importance of the vows?
Yes.
Like, that seems like something that the trend, at least, you know, in years, recent years,
yeah,
that we have decided to make our own vows. Like, it's a cool thing to do to make your own vows.
Yeah.
What is problematic about that?
Well, I think a lot of it stems from a total lack of the appreciation of tradition. Okay. That we have lost the idea about participating in ancient things and doing things in accord with society, like the way things are done. We've lost, like, traditions. They didn't come from nowhere. Okay.
Right.
All traditions, they come from wisdom. Okay. There's a reason why people from certain cultures did things the same way. Even if you look at butchering an animal, okay? Like,
unique parallel.
Well, okay, there's a reason why in different parts of the world you would butcher the same animal in a different way. It's because they prepare the things differently. They have a different cuisine, different way of cooking. Okay, and so those traditions developed out of what is going to best serve the end of the table. Okay, mm-hmm. So it actually has deep, like, real practical purposes. Traditions are never, like, a real tradition is never just random and meaningless. Okay, there is a real practical reason. I mean, even just natural traditions, okay, even more so with our spiritual traditions. So, on the one hand, people have lost the notion of the importance and the wisdom in participating and relying on some of these traditions. I think also they think, oh, it's going to be so much more personal, okay? But they end up, like, this is the sacrament. As Catholics, we understand this better. We have a sacramental, like a, you know, a notion of sacramentality. And so every sacrament has form and matter. Okay, so in this case, the matter would be the two people who have come there freely, you know, with the desire to perform
become
the sacrament.
One.
Become one, right? The matter, in this case, would be the words. Or no, maybe the form, well, whatever it is, okay? The matter are the people. Is that what I said? The matter are the people who have come. The form are the words that you say. And so you need to say the thing that you intend, right? And if you're not saying the right things and you're not making the right promises, then it's not, you're not actually getting married, not mm-hmm. in the eyes of the church. You know, if you say, like, I promise to be true to you for the next 7 years and then we'll reevaluate, like, that's not a marriage. In fact, it's kind of a waste of time. Because not really anything.
Mm-hmm.
So saying the right vows is a critical part. Now, there's not, it's not like, oh, this is it. You have to say this. The church actually, there's like a couple different variations that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose others could be written as well, but they need to have the approval of the church behind them, right? I mean, just for the sake of a surety, at least. So yeah,
do you feel like that?
Does that answer your question?
Kind of. Do you feel like that? A lot of people have the mentality that the wedding day is like their day. This is like for me.
Yeah.
And do you feel like that's problematic?
Yeah, I think it can be because there's so much focus put on it and very little focus put on every day afterwards. So, Lady Pamela and I, we do marriage prep. Help do marriage prep for the diocese. And one thing I'm always telling people is like, hey, what was the last wedding you went to? What food did they serve? And often the women can tell me, but the men can't.
Right.
And it's like, all right, well, what about the one you went to a year ago? Do you remember that food? And it's like, eventually it's like, no, I can't remember. You know, like, what were the songs they played? What were the, you know, it's like...
YMCA. Say YMCA every time.
What were the, like, the little the details that... People spend so much time focusing on, and I get it, they want it to be a beautiful day. Like,
I specifically asked the YMCA not to be played at my wedding, and it was.
I'd ask my money back. It's like, no, dude.
I'm so upset.
It's a breach of contract. But, yeah, the wedding, it should be beautiful. You know, you want it to go well. But don't worry. Don't make a bigger deal out of it about the food you serve. You should really pay more attention into preparing yourself for the sacrament of marriage and not just the ceremony of marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that there's a lot of like inward, like what's going to happen in marriage, like, or like at the ceremony, like, what am I going to be doing? How am I going to be feeling? It's like, hold on. The purpose of the sacrament is of giving of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
To the other.
Yeah, it's not about serving your own like ideas of vanity or right. Like, I want to be a prince. This is my day to be a princess.
It's about...
It's actually your day to give yourself away. Yeah. And to give away the things that you've like previously desired.
And I think that's, you know, that contradicts the mentality of like what a wedding is today. It's like, I want this. It has to have this food, this music, this mm-hmm. whatever. Whatever my... desire is, whatever my appetite is for these things, I want those things in my wedding. When in reality, it's like, well, it's actually a kind of misunderstanding of what you're about to enter into, because right. It's a giving of your, it's actually should be like, obviously you want it to be beautiful and
yeah,
but you want like, it's a giving of yourself away.
Yeah. The bride should seek to be beautiful in order to honor her husband.
And the husband should just lay down his life for her.
Right. So if she's like, oh, cause she, you, a bride should be beautiful, right? Like she should have all of the glories of beauty. Like, but it's not for her. It's not so like she can like be pretty on this one day. Mm-hmm. She should be glorified in beauty in order to like honor her the bridegroom, the groom even more, right? And it's like there should be this reciprocity,
yeah.
You know, and the ceremony should be like this outward display in this way that represents the day-to-day life of marriage.
I totally agree. It reminds me of this story I heard of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, the Sheensters out there. You know, if this is not true, feel free to at Dave about this.
Good luck finding me.
but apparently he was on an airplane at one time, and there's a beautiful stewardess coming by, and he looked at her and he said, like, you are just so beautiful, which was very...
A little scandalous,
like and a little stark, like, whoa, what, you know, why is a priest telling me I'm beautiful? And he looked at her and he said, like, what are you going to do with this beauty that God gave you? How are you going to glorify him? And it, like, that to me reminds me of like, yes, the bride is made, you know, is called to be beautiful, to glorify our Lord, mm-hmm. to not point the attention to her,
right.
But to the other.
But at the same time, she shouldn't shy away. You know, I think right. there might be a tendency, you hear this, it's like, oh, I don't want to be vain. So I'm going to like, oh, I don't want to present myself.
The false humility.
Right. It's like, no, you actually, you're called, like, it's proper at this moment to be as beautiful as physically possible. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously in an inappropriate way, but you shouldn't shy yeah. away
right.
from the resplendent beauty. Mm-hmm. You should do it. I feel the same way about, like, when we've talked about dressing up for Mass. One of the things that we've gotten comments on in the past is like, I don't want to like wear shiny shoes and like, because I feel like I'm just like drawing attention to myself. It's like, once again, that's a very selfish attitude. You're not going to wear you're not going to wear a suit to Mass because you think, oh, it's drawing attention to yourself. Like, you're being selfish in thinking that. You're wearing a suit to Mass. It has nothing to do with you. It has something, it has like, you're honoring our Lord.
Like, bring back the papal tiara. What is it?
The papal tiara.
Tiara. Like, it's not. It has nothing to do with the person. It's about the office.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
That's what I say, dude. Oh, I'm totally down. So, anyway, I'm gonna skip over a lot of this other stuff. We're gonna get to the effects of the sacrament next. If you're listening to us on the Catholic Radio, go subscribe to the podcast so you can hear.
If you want.
The rest of the show. Yeah, if you want.
If you want to know the rest of the story.
That's right.
Go check us out on thecatholicmanshow.com. We hope to see you at the camp out. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus. Okay. The effects of the sacrament. I mean, I think we can move on to that, right? Any questions about ceremonies? Any other hot takes from Adam Minahan on?
I have a lot
weddings?
Of hot takes.
Let's give us one more. Come on, hit us with one more.
Oh man,
is that too much on the spot for you?
I have a lot of hot takes on marriage, and recently I've had a lot of hot takes on dating.
Let me share some advice I like to give to all engaged couples.
Okay,
this is something that. Lady Pamela and I did, I remember doing it at the time. She didn't know I surprised her with doing this. It's not anything crazy. But like looking back on it, it was something I was so glad. Like I have such an appreciation for having done this. Okay. And it comes from the book of Tobit, which actually, if you're doing Exodus, we just read this.
Just read this
today.
St. Michael's Lent.
It was today that we read this very reading.
The life, not death.
So I had.
Isn't that what the reflection was called?
Yeah,
life, not death.
I had the Bible ready in the, you know, it's like after the ceremony, go back to the hotel room, wherever you're going. Had the Bible ready, open to the book of Tobit. And just like in the book of Tobit, who takes Sarah to be his wife, before they consummated their wedding, they got out of bed. They knelt down and they said this prayer. And it's a beautiful prayer that, and so I did that with, Pamela and I did that together. We got out of bed, we knelt down and we said this prayer. And it, like, I really can't tell you how much it like, looking back on it, it meant to me. As you stand on the precipice of your conjugal life together, that you would take stop, because you're very eager, right? It's like you've been waiting for this for a long time, but to offer, like, no, stop, and to offer that, your sexual life together to the Lord. It was such a beautiful thing to do, mm-hmm. And so I really encourage anybody who's engaged to, like, consider, you should do it. Like, you should, you don't have to read from the book of Tobit, but you should say, you know, like, it was, you should say a prayer. And if you don't, like, want to say your own, read the one from Tobit, because it's very good. And so anyway, that's just little wedding advice.
Yeah, it's Tobit 8, 9 through 18.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. If you need a, like, a bookmark, you could go Tobit 8, 9, 10. That'll get you there.
Close enough, yeah. One of the, and I've said this before on the show, but one of the best things that I did for our marriage, especially in the spiritual aspect, is build a pray-do.
Mm, yeah.
Which a pray-do is just a kneeler. That's, mm-hmm. you know, fancy word for kneeler. And we set the kneeler at the foot of our bed, which is very symbolic, you know, with the bed
before, yeah, it's because the bed is an altar,
and yeah, of laying down one's life for the mm-hmm. other, you know. And we haven't, we just moved, so we haven't like set everything up the way we want to, but you know, typically what we would do is we would kneel down before bed and pray together on the kneeler, and because it's there, it's a physical reminder. You have to pass by it, you mm-hmm. know, almost to get to bed. So it's like, it's almost like this thing, like, I have to reject doing this.
Yeah. And praying in bed is not ideal.
It isn't, in my experience, because it ends up not, you know, yielding a lot of praying in my experience.
John Paul II's dad had a saying. I'm trying to remember what it was. It's from the, like, the holy heroes, like, he who prays in bed, something while sleeping. I'll see if I can remember it, but it was a good little phrase about he who prays in bed, like,
gets bedhead,
just basically falls asleep. You know, you're not actually gonna pray. You're
gets
gonna
bedhead.
Yeah,
there it is.
That it, must have been it.
It's not.
I don't see how it could have been anything else other than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is great advice. Having the pray-do,
like,
I like yours too, because it's two person.
Right.
It's we have a pray-do, but it's a one, just like a regular pray-do, right? One person. So and Pamela, like, and I will use it. She'll kneel on it and I'll kneel on the floor, which is fine. But I can see it'd be nice to, like, hey, you're come together. Down together, right?
And, like, you don't have to be a craftsman to build this thing, right? You know, it's,
well,
not,
you
like,
can buy one. I mean, if, like, you don't have a workshop, because if you don't have a woodworking shop, you're not going to build one. Go buy one. You know, we got ours at the monastery. They don't like have them for sale. I don't know how Pamela. I don't know if she called them and said, like, hey, will you make this? And they said yes, or if they just happened to have, maybe they just happened to have it for sale that time when she was there. I don't know, but you know,
you can
buy them. They're readily for sale on the internets. Literally all the time.
Of pipes and tubes.
Pipes and tubes.
Yeah.
Thank you, George Bush.
Thank you.
Okay.
Anything else?
So let's talk about the effects of marriage.
Oh.
I do want to talk about that. We've been saying we're going to talk about it. I think we ought to.
The effects of marriage or children.
Yeah. Well, that is one of the effects.
That's actually the main effect. That's the primary cause.
It's
one of the
fruit. It's the fruit.
It's a primary cause.
Well, it's not a cause of marriage.
It's a...
Marriage would be the cause of children. Yeah. The church likes to use the word children are the fruit of marriage, which I think is
probably
the best word. The Catechism says, in a Christian marriage, the spouses are strengthened and, as it were, consecrated for the duties and dignity of their state by a special sacrament. So there's a lot of words here. Like anytime you see the word consecrated, I mean, like there's a lot of heavy words here. Consecrated is not a word that, that word bears a lot of meaning and significance to it. There's words, some of the best words. Is that why you were laughing?
Yeah, it's like,
not everything is a Trump impression, okay?
Okay, sorry. It just sounded like you were like.
There's so many words.
That or Sarah Palin, I wasn't sure.
Or it could be Kamala, there's so many words here.
Kamala is really funny.
Being burdened by what has been.
Yeah.
Or not burdened. I forget exactly how that quote goes.
Which is funny because that's all she says.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the debate's going to be, well, I shouldn't say because it hasn't happened yet. By the time this comes out, it will happen. Anyway, but in a Christian marriage,
sure it'll go swimmingly.
We should get back to
it. It'll go immensely.
It's very immensely tonight. In a Christian marriage, the spouses are strengthened and consecrated for the duties and dignity of their state. So I think this says a lot more. Then, like when I first read it, it's like, okay, yeah, yeah. But the more I have thought about it, it's like, that really says a lot because the duties, like what, like you mentioned children, certainly one of the duties that comes along with, I don't know if, once again, duty is not the right word, but it is something that mostly happens. So, you know, trying to live the married life without the sacrament of marriage is going to be harder. Because you are going to be lacking that those charitable graces that you need, or the graces you need to be charitable and to grow in charity that you ought to have during a marriage. Yes. Okay. Good. And another thing it said. This is actually up before it actually was talking about this, but it says, after the fall, this is Catechism 1609, marriage helps to overcome self-absorption, egoism, pursuit of one's own pleasure, and to open oneself to the other, to mutual aid and self-giving. So those are some like very direct things. I wanted to just like think about this because... you know, we talked about when you go to confession, I know exactly what has happened to me. You know, there's been this, like before I had these sins on my soul, now I don't. Okay.
A cause and effect.
Yeah, exactly. I know what happened, but I feel like with marriage, it's like, okay, now we're allowed to like live together. We're allowed to like be married. But I don't often think about the fact that the marriage, that sacrament, is actually constantly, like I am open to a constant source of grace now that is like because of my state in life, which is what it talks about here, for the duties and dignity of this special state in life. And that actually that sacrament of marriage, it's not something that like, oh, occasionally I get like, oh, it's, you know, like every now and then maybe I'll get a grace. It's actually 24/7.
You don't get a grace bump. It's like always there.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And I think if I was more aware of that, maybe I could see that like really helping in your faith to just rely on it and to really depend God's grace get you through. You know what I mean?
But do you feel like that actually does happen? And you like, even the times where you do well, it's like, oh, well, clearly that's grace. But like, in marriage, there's a lot of times where you will either, like, there are times in marriage you will either decide to go, you have to make a decision of either going this way or I have to go this way. And, mm-hmm. and like, at least when I've, you know, had to make these decisions, there's been times like, I'm not really sure, but I just have this intuition of we have to go this way.
Yeah.
And when I look back, it's like, man, I can't believe I made that decision. I can't believe that was like, that was the right decision. I don't know why I made that decision. But these are the graces that happen through marriage. I think this happens in the priesthood all the time with like either homilies or like what they say in, you know, in confession, or, you know, what they just say to certain people walking in Walmart, you know, whatever it is. It's like, oh, I just like kind of just said the blurted this out and ended up being this massive grace for this person. I didn't even realize it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think this happens all the time in marriage, especially once you have kids. You just you like things that you just kind of like order yourselves towards this good, and you don't even like in like you're not thinking about, oh, you don't analyze it. At least I don't. This is just how I function. A lot of times I don't analyze things to the point where it's like, oh, well, what is the order of my family? The order of my family is to be holy. In order to be holy, we mm-hmm. have to do this. In order to do this, like,
right. Because you don't have to actually think those thoughts every time, because you already,
like, that was,
that's in the back. That's in the background of obviously right.
of what we're gonna do. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, should we play basketball or not? You know, for this kid, it's like, no, we should not. It's like, why did you choose that? I'm not really sure. Because
they have very short arms.
Because they're not very tall, and yeah. they are terrible at free throws. No, it's like, I'm not really sure
you
why.
You don't have to be good at free throws. I mean,
well,
Shaq was.
Yeah, Shaq did great. Yeah,
now, I mean, if you're like 6'8", like 400 pounds or so, I don't know how big he was.
He's like 7'2".
Yeah. However big he was, if you're Shaq, you don't have to be good at free throws.
Right. But there are certain aspects of your life where you just decide, like, no, we're not going to do this, or yes, we're going to do this. And yeah. you look back and you're like, what actually caused me to do this? Like, caused my wife and I to make this decision? Well, I think it's just a lot of the grace that happens
certainly.
through the sacrament of marriage. Just like there's a lot of grace that happens in the sacrament of the priesthood.
Right. So I think it's a twofold thing. I think absolutely what you're talking about, how, like, yes, God's going to give you the grace. If you are open and attuned to his will, then he will give you intuitions. The thing is, if you're not cultivating a life of prayer, if you are not practicing the silence and like listening, you know, being attentive to hear him, then you simply won't hear him, because it takes practice. You have to learn to quiet your mind, quiet your appetites, right? So I do think that absolutely. And the grace, the sacramental graces of marriage are going to be, like, that's the avenue that he's going to deliver these to you, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I also think that there's another component that could be where Christ just simply blesses the decisions you make that are made in good faith, right?
Like, well, I totally agree with that.
I do think it's actually, there's a twofold thing where, like, hey, you're making honest decisions about trying to bless your family.
You make honest decisions and they're wrong.
Even if they're wrong, I think he still is going to bless your efforts,
yeah.
right? Even if that means they don't go well.
Right.
But, you know, you could have not an outcome you desire, but still a good effect on your family.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that that's also part of it. But
little Davey should be point guard, by the way. Like, that's...
Oh, dude, someday. He'll be point guard and quarterback and running back and...
wow.
And tight end.
Defensive tight end.
Yeah. At the same time, it's gonna be incredible.
I mean,
he'll be drafted four times,
probably.
Same year, Same year. I wanted to read this. This is from Tertullian. I thought this was really beautiful. He says, "How can
church father, not a saint?"
Correct. Weird, huh? How can I ever?
I find that absolutely bizarre.
It's very bizarre. But,
like,
hey,
he may like. He may have died, like, we're not really sure.
A heretic, you mean?
Yeah, like.
But in the meantime, he really said some great stuff.
He really killed it.
Yeah, but before that, really put us on a good start. But he says, what he says here is really nice. It's in the Catechism. How can I ever express the happiness of a marriage joined by the church? strengthened by an offering, sealed by a blessing, announced by angels, and ratified by the Father.
Mm.
How wonderful the bond between two believers, now one in hope, one in desire, one in discipline, one in the same service. They are both children of the Father and servants of the same Master, undivided in spirit and flesh, truly two in one flesh. Where the flesh is one, one also is the spirit. It's like, man.
That nails it.
Like, when you read stuff like that, it reminds you of the dignity of the sacrament, right?
And the duty.
Yes, and like really like the noble sacrament. Calling
yeah.
that the sacrament
right.
Like demands of us and also simultaneously elevates us to, because the calling is one that we can't achieve. And that's why it's a sacrament. It's only through God's grace that we get from the sacrament that we can actually become what the sacrament calls us to be.
Right.
So, I'm going to like think about this more in my own life about, you know, so like for instance, when you go to confession later on, you might have like, oh man, I still kind of like some guilt, but you, you know, through the practice of the faith, you learn to say like, no, I am counting on the grace of that confession. Like I'm rejecting these guilty feelings. Not because I'm not guilty, but because I have been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And like,
helps us group you.
I believe
sure.
in Christ's mercy for yeah. me. Okay, I think you could draw an analogy there as you are like, marriage is hard, right? And there's a lot of moments like that are a lot of seasons in life, really, that involve a lot of struggling. Just because you're imperfect, your spouse is imperfect, your children are like imperfect, right? And so remembering, just like you would in that moment, where it's like, I have been forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
To remember is like, no, I have the sacramental graces of marriage that have equipped me for this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm going sure. to really yeah, yeah. count on God's love. Like I know that he will see me through this mm-hmm. and that it's like, it's not up to me to knuckle down
right.
and like somehow like bury these, you know, like bury mm-hmm. this mm-hmm. rage. Like, no, I'm going to surrender. And it's not up to me, because I know that the Lord is actually going to be the one who's going to give. He is my strength, and he's giving me that strength through the sacrament of my marriage.
Totally agree.
This is like one of the great things, or like it is a great thing, but couples who are in, have a disparity of cult, who've married, like if you've married someone who's not baptized, you actually don't have a sacramental marriage.
Right.
And, you know, that doesn't mean you can't have a happy marriage, and you can't, you know, like you can't be a good, you can't still pursue holiness. But I mean, you have to be honest that the reality is you're missing out on some of these sacramental graces. You can't force your spouse to get mm-hmm. baptized and to have your marriage convalidated. But it is something that we ought to strive for, and something that we ought to think, I think, should give us pause before we just enter a marriage with someone who's not, you know,
of course,
before yeah. you like, you know, I know like a lot of people are going to have a lot to say about that, but the older I get, the more strongly I feel is like, you should really think twice about marrying someone who's not Catholic. I think, you know, like think twice, but, marriage is awesome.
Measure twice, cut once.
That's right. Or something. Pray for me and for Adam and for our marriages, and we'll do the same.